basket. Thought it was crazy when someone asked him if he could have his fish and bread. Wonder who could have ever guessed it, that when Jesus broke and blessed it, thousands were fed. I'll bet he ran home and said, you won't believe it when I tell you all that I saw Jesus do. I still can't get over out of all the people he could choose to help him feed the hungry. She would be a singer, but she's thankful every day that God could use the little gift that he gave her to tell others all about a Savior and his amazing grace. And if you asked her, she'd say, you won't believe it when I tell you.
To Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White, here with this week's message. We're still hunkered down, we're still live streaming, we still can't get into the nursing homes to where we have our service every week. And it looks like it's going to be a while, but we are a church online, so we're persevering. We are still here for you each and every week. We want to thank you for joining us this week and taking time out of your busy Sundays to take time to be with the Lord, take time to praise and worship Him. So before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will start with our service. If you would join me, please. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the time that we have together today, even though we're still live streaming, we're still social distancing, we're still hunkered down, staying in place, staying at home. There's many things that we have to do to fight off this coronavirus and to keep away from it. We just ask, Lord, that you'll put a hedge of protection around each one of us and help us to stay away from the virus and to stay well and healthy. And we just ask, Lord, that you be with us on that today. So as we get into your word today, we ask that you be here with us. Shine your glory down on us. Share your presence with us. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what your message, your words have to say to us today. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Now, this is about feeding the 5,000. When Jesus heard about it, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. When the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. As he stepped ashore, he saw a huge crowd, felt compassion for them, and healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples approached him and said, "This place is a wilderness, and it's already late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." "They don't need to go away," Jesus told them. "You give them something to eat." "But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here," they said to him. "Bring them to me," he said. He then commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven and blessed them. He broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate and was filled. Then they picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Now those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, do you ever have a time when you feel you need some time alone? Maybe you've had a difficult day at school or at work, or and you just feel like relaxing and have a snack. Perhaps you've played hard or you worked very hard and you just want to take a nap. Maybe you've argued with someone and you need some time to cool down. During those times, we don't like to be disturbed. When your mom or your wife asks you to take out the garbage, you might feel like saying, "Not right now." You might be having fun watching TV or playing a video game, and then they're asking you to help out with chores again. And once again, you might not want to. You might want to say, "Not now. I'm having too much fun." When we are asked to help, the request may come at an inconvenient time for us. We don't feel like helping, or we'd rather be doing something else. Jesus had such an experience. He had just received some very bad news. He got into a boat and he went to a deserted place apart, according to verse 13 today of our text. Jesus had many followers. When they heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great multitude. He had compassion on them and he healed their sick, according to verse 14 today. Now, this was an inconvenient time for Jesus. He was sad and he wanted to be alone for a while, but he also felt sorry for the people who needed him. He answered their call for help and he cared for them. And this is a lesson for our lives, because there are many times when we'd rather play or rest or just be alone. But we must also think about the people who need us. Even though it may be an inconvenient time for us, we must be willing to answer their call for help. Now, Hugo Grotius was a Dutch jurist, a theologian, a philosopher, and a poet. He lived almost 400 years ago. Now, Grotius said something that should cause us to pause and reflect. Grotius said, "Even God cannot make 2 times 2 not make 4. Now think about that for a moment. It packs a lot of thought into 10 short words. Even God cannot make 2 times 2 not make 4. Grotius was saying that God created our world with dependable physical laws. 2 and 2 always equal 4. It always has, it always will. If 2 times 2 equaled 4 today and then it equals 6 tomorrow, we'd kind of go crazy, because how could you manage your budget if numbers meant one thing one day and meant something else another day? How could you buy groceries if you had no idea how the cash register was going to ring up? Now, God has given us a world that makes sense here. 2 and 2 always equal 4. Gravity always pulls us towards the earth. The sun always rises in the east and sets in the west. But Grotius takes the matter one step further when he says, "Even God cannot make 2 times 2 not make 4. He means that God has tied his own hands so that he cannot tamper with our world. Can God make 2 plus 2 not equal 4? That might sound like an academic question, rather like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. But this is more than an academic question here. It has God, if he has tied his own hands so that he cannot affect our lives, then we're alone. We're truly alone. If God cannot affect our lives, then he cannot help us. If God cannot affect our lives, our prayers are meaningless. When I read the scripture about feeding the 5,000, Grotius' remark came to mind. Even God cannot make 2 times 2 not make 4. So is that true? As we consider Grotius's remark here, along the story with the feeding of the 5,000, we must admit that either Grotius is wrong, or the story of the feeding of the 5,000 just isn't true. Grotius says that God's physical laws are so dependable that even God cannot suspend them. But Matthew says that something happened in Galilee that just didn't add up. Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Actually, Jesus fed far more than 5,000 people that day. Matthew tells us there were 5,000 men besides women and children. We see that in verse 21 today. Many of those men would have had their families with them. So my guess is that there were closer to maybe 10 or 15,000 people with Jesus that day. God's math is that 5 loaves plus 2 fishes equal thousands upon thousands of lunches. That seems crazy, but I believe it's true. I believe that's true because God does intervene in people's lives. I believe that God sometimes suspends the laws of nature for a particular purpose. And I believe that God works miracles. And I believe that God can and does make 2 plus 2 equal anything He wants. God doesn't do that to drive us crazy. He does it out of love. God works miracles to get our attention, to draw us to Him so that we might be saved. God works miracles of healing, not for everyone, but for some. God often causes the heavens to open and pour blessings down on us. The feeding of the 5,000, or the feeding of the 10,000, or the feeding of the 15,000 was quite a miracle. As I said, Jesus may have fed 10,000 or more people that day, including women and children, and He did it with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Now, this is the only miracle recorded in all 4 Gospels, and it's a fact that speaks well of its importance of the early church. The feeding of the 4,000 is also recorded in Matthew and in Mark. All 6 accounts appear to be a variant form of the same tradition. These feedings are reminiscent of Elisha's feeding miracle in 2 Kings 4. In that story, Elisha had only 20 barley loaves to feed 100 people. When he ordered his servant to distribute the bread, the servant protested, "What? Should I set this before 100 men?" Elisha affirmed the order, promising they will eat and will have some left over. The servant distributed the bread, the people ate it, and there was bread left over in accord with the promise. The linkage between the stories is made even tighter by the reference of barley loaves in John's account of this story in John 6, verse 9. It's worth noting that both Elisha and Jesus involved others. Elisha involved his servant. Jesus involved his disciples to implement their miracles. Now, these feedings are also reminiscent of the manna in the wilderness. Like Moses, Jesus had crossed over the water to the wilderness. Like Moses, He's surrounded by hungry people. Matthew clearly intends to portray Jesus as a parallel to Moses, yet surpassing him as the bringer of a new age. In John's Gospel, Jesus makes the connection even more explicit by referring to manna in His bread from heaven discourse following the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. Now, the feeding of the 5,000, here is a compassion story. Jesus sees the crowd, He has compassion on them, and He heals those who were sick. It's also an abundance story in which God, His providence, solves a problem that seems impossibly large. It's also a Eucharistic story here. Now, some years ago, I decided I wanted to see how much food it takes to feed just 10,000 people. I was preaching on this story, and I thought it'd be helpful to know how much food it took for Jesus to feed thousands of people that particular day. Now, in my research, I found this answer. There's one division in the military that had 10,000 soldiers. This question was asked of a mess sergeant. How much food would it take to feed 10,000 soldiers just one meal. One meal. You might be interested in the answer because it makes clear just how great a miracle Jesus worked that day. The mess sergeant says he had two choices. He could feed the soldiers MREs, which are meals ready to eat, or for your veterans out there, sea rations. Or he could feed them a hot meal of fish, rice, and bread. Now, MREs, if you're not familiar with that, are bags of dehydrated food. One MRE will feed one soldier one meal. MREs come in cases of 10. It would take 1,000 cases of MREs to feed 10,000 soldiers. 1,000 cases of MREs would fill 22 pallets. This would require a semi-truck just to transport them. The sergeant could also make a hot meal of fish, rice, and bread. To serve 10,000 soldiers, he would need nearly a ton of fish fillets, 1,800 pounds. He would need more than a ton, over 2,100 pounds of rice and bread. That's 2 tons of food. It would also take thousands of gallons of water for cooking, drinking, and cleanup, several water tankers full, just for one meal. We're just talking one meal here. Perhaps that'll give us some perspective on our story when we usually call the feeding of the 5,000, but we should probably call it the feeding of the 10,000 in this case. The disciples had a problem, so they came to Jesus and they said in verse 15 today of our text, "This place is deserted and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away so that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But what Jesus' disciples was really saying is, "Jesus, it's been a great day, but it's going to turn into an absolute disaster in about 2 hours if you don't send these people home." So imagine the disciples' frustration when Jesus answered, "Well, you give them something to eat." The disciples replied, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what that really meant was, "Really? You got to be kidding, Jesus." Jesus' next step was bold because it created expectations. He ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he looks up to heaven and he blessed and broke the loaves and he gave the broken loaves and the fish to the disciples and the disciples gave the food to the crowd. Matthew reports it this way. They all ate and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of that which remained left over from the broken pieces. Those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now that's a real miracle right there. It demonstrates the power of God's math. It tells us that God can make 2 plus 2 equal anything he wants. And the Bible's full of stories that demonstrate the power of God's math. Gideon had 22,000 soldiers, but God told him to send most of them home. Gideon was left with 300 soldiers, whom he led into battle against a great army. Gideon and his little band of 300 won the battle. In God's math, 300 soldiers can be more powerful than any army. In God's math, one person plus God is a majority. On another occasion, the giant Goliath said to the Israelites in 1 Samuel 17, and I'm going to paraphrase here, "Send one soldier to face me. If he wins, your army wins. If he loses, well, your army loses." King Saul had plenty of soldiers. He had veterans accustomed to battle and used to winning, but the Bible tells us that they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Then David, an untested recruit here, says in 1 Samuel 17:37, "God, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." David went against Goliath, armed with only a slingshot and a few smooth stones. You know the story. You know the rest. God, plus a shepherd boy, was greater than any giant, and is another example of God's math. God can make 2 plus 2 equal something other than 4. God can make 2 plus 2 equal anything he wants. Not only can he do so, but he does so. God acts in the lives of people and wonderful things happen. The great preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick put it this way. Plant a pebble and a seed side by side, the law of the pebble is to lie dead. The law of the seed is to grow. If therefore the pebble could see the seed sprouting, how certainly it would lift up its pebble hands in astonishment and cry, "A miracle!" But no law is broken here. There and everywhere else, what is called a miracle is not a rupture of law. It is fulfilling of a larger and higher law than we have yet understood. We need to open our eyes to God's possibilities. We need to open our eyes to God's math. And we need to open our hearts to God's way. In our closing hymn today, Bread of the World was written by Reginald Heber, an Anglican churchman who, in his later years, became an Anglican bishop of Calcutta, India. Heber was concerned about the dreary hymns being sung in churches of his day, and he tried to find alternatives. Failing that, he penned a number of hymns, including Bread of the World and Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He was not yet a bishop, and his bishop was not supportive of innovation, so many of his hymns were published only after his death. Heber wrote Bread of the World as to accompany the Eucharist. He was inspired by Jesus' words in John 6, where he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty." This hymn celebrates the death of our sins and God's provision of the Eucharist to feed the sorrowing on God's grace. So let me ask you this. What are the impossibilities in your life? What crowds do you have to feed, and what battles lay before you? What giants do you have to face? When faced with the impossibilities of life, face them hand in hand with the one who makes all things possible. Read his word, kneel before him in prayer, seek his will for your life. Then proceed with the confidence that comes not from your strength, but from God's. You plus God are greater than your adversary. You plus God are greater than the task that challenge you. And you plus God add up to whatever God wants. Walk with God in faith and see what He can do. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Stick around for a few minutes after our service today for Bread of the World, and let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words today, because even I need to hear that every once in a while, and I know you're speaking to me and several others here when you are giving these messages, you're giving these words. And I just ask, Lord, you be with us all, put a hedge of protection around us, put your healing hands on those that need it, and just keep us safe, Lord, from the terrors in this world, from the horrors of the coronavirus, from whatever tribulations and trials we might be facing. Just be with us each and every day. Bless us and keep us, Lord. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching, and I hope to see you all next week. Thank you.